Good morning and welcome to our Tuesday morning chapel. This morning we would like to begin with the prayer for Tuesday morning, which you find on page 169 in the front part of your hymn book, page 169. You will note there that there are prayers for every morning and evening. When this hymn book was published about 10 or 11 years ago, I was so excited to see these prayers included from one of the old Norwegian hymn books. We used them at our family table, especially in the morning. And I think you will find these prayers to be just wonderful prayers to use. I often use them as I come into chapel before the service begins. So a nice way to begin your day. They summarize the teachings of Scripture so beautifully. So let us join together in the prayer for Tuesday morning, and we join in unison. Ever faithful God and Father, to you be praise and thanks for all your goodness that you have permitted me to rest under the shadow of your wings. Grant that I also this day and always may be so awakened and loved to you that I do not desire to live but in you, and that as long as life shall last, I may live solely in faith in your Son, that he may be my light and my life. To this end, I commend myself to you anew, that you would cleanse and reign over me. Grant that faith and that Christ through faith may dwell in my heart, that he may bring forth the fruits of faith within me, love, hope, humility, meekness, and patience. Teach me that I may desire nothing but your love, no gain but the riches of your grace, no honor but that of being your child. May I take no thought for temporal things, for you will not leave me nor forget me. Sanctify and bless the labor of my hands, and deliver me from all danger and harm. Spread the wings of your mercy over all, and rescue everyone from destruction. Especially do I commend to the care of your grace all my family, the government, and all my superiors. Have mercy on all in every estate and condition, and make an end of all wickedness and offense. Help all who are in want, be gracious to us all, and give us your peace in Jesus' name. Amen. You may remain seated for the singing of the hymn.
Thank you.
Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" Here ends our text. A 10-year-old boy is on vacation with his parents. They're visiting Chicago, and they're up on the top floor, the observatory deck of the Sears Tower, and they're looking out over the city. And suddenly nearby is a small gathering of young architects listening to the now retired architect who designed the Sears Tower. And he's talking about some of the decisions that were made and how the building had been designed and so on. The little 10-year-old boy moves away from his parents and goes into this little circle of young architects and begins questioning and challenging this now retired wise man. And the man stands and listens patiently as this little boy begins to challenge some of his reasoning and decisions, and even begins to ridicule him and make fun of him in front of the other students. How should the elderly architect respond? What should he say as this little boy stands and arrogantly pontificates against him and ridicules him and questions him? One of the most difficult personalities to be around is an arrogant little child. And maybe that's why people had trouble with me when I was young. I don't know. But that's one of the most difficult personalities for people to be in the presence of, is an arrogant little child who thinks he or she knows better. In a spiritual level, there are times when you and I, these little creatures of God, imagine that somehow God owes us an answer. Imagine that somehow his way of doing things and his thinking and his design of things and the plans that he has laid out historically in the world's history and even in my own personal life, that somehow he doesn't know what he's doing. And it's very tempting for us to rise up and speak up against God and challenge him, as if somehow we had the right to tell God how things should be, as if we had the right and were entitled to have answers to everything, and as if God somehow had to answer us. In the text before us, God has listened long enough to Job's friends and Job himself ranting and raging against God and his decisions for the way things had gone now in Job's life. God had listened to that long enough, and he now must put man in his proper place. He now must offer some heavenly perspective on things. And the contrast that we're looking at here is far greater than an elderly architect and a 10-year-old child. This is the divine, all-knowing, omniscient God speaking now to humble little mortal man who has questioned him. And who of us has the depth of understanding to know how this universe functions? Who of us has the knowledge and the insight to question God, to question his decisions on things and how he lays things out? And when we think about this enormous, vast difference between this almighty, all-powerful creator of all things and us tiny little insignificant, mortal, very intellectually limited human beings in this world, it is quite a contrast. And who are we to imagine that God should somehow answer us, that he owes us anything? I can't even tell you how many hairs I have on my body. God exhibits his great providential care, not only by taking care of the things that you and I appreciate every day, for which we owe him thanks, but in addition to that, God has things that are part of his providential care that we haven't even yet scratched the surface on trying to understand, on learning about. God's wisdom is so vast and so enormous and so beyond us. Who are we to question him? This text just is like a spotlight magnifying the enormous contrast between us and God. And in a sense, putting us in our proper place and showing us our relative insignificance compared to this enormous, all-knowing God in the heavens. But God would have us sit in amazement, because rather than pushing aside as an arrogant little child and not listening to us, this enormous, all-knowing being in the heavens, who has determined how high the mountain should go and how many ounces of water should be in the oceans, has come up with so many species of fish that we're still discovering them every week. This amazing, supreme being, creator of all things, has chosen to still keep contact with us and to still want you to love him and to still want you to know about him and ultimately wants you to live with him. How easily he could have just swept us all aside and dismissed us as arrogant little children, and yet he continues to extend his hand of love to us. But rather than sending you off out into space to try to discover where he is in this enormous, vast universe that he's created, rather than sending you into the scientific laboratories, to the microscopes, to try and find him in the details of science, and his hand is certainly in all of those things, for he is the great creator, but instead he has chosen to take you, instead of blowing you away with sighs and amazement, he's chosen to take you through his word to the town of Bethlehem, to Bethlehem, to a little stable where he has his own son, true God, born into this world in human flesh. He takes you in the pages of his word, watching that child grow up to the cross, watching him shed his blood there for every one of your sins, even our sins of questioning him and our arrogance toward God. And he takes you out to that tomb with the stone rolled aside, where Christ has risen to defeat death for all of us. And he says to you and me in his word, this is where I, the supreme, all-knowing, all-powerful God, this is where I want you to find me, and where I want you to know me is where I have come to you, and where he continues to come to us even now through his means of grace. Rather than crush us with his wisdom and might and power, God continues even now to extend his loving hand toward his arrogant little children. And we might expect an adult to dismiss a child in that situation and push him aside, but God is too long-suffering and too patient with us, as he was with dear Job as well. How wonderful that he continues to extend that loving, gracious hand to us even today. We should thank and praise him not just for taking care of all the daily needs that we have, but for the fact that he even cares about us. And that has been demonstrated more than ever in the work of his Son. Amen.